B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Happy Monday!
Nice.
How you doing?
Oh, great.
Good?
Excellent. Love Mondays. How about them Dragons last night, huh? What an ending.
Get your Dragons.
Anybody knows us, knows our show. We don't do Dragons. We don't watch Dragons. If that's your thing, that's cool. If you like to live in fantasy land and wear your cloak. And whoosh, whoosh.
Oh, yeah, it sounds like it's real cool to you.
Whoosh.
Yeah, the way you talk about it.
Fairy dust.
Yeah, the way you talk about it. Sounds like it's real cool.
Oh, approach the Dallas Mike Dragon.
Let's talk about something that popped up over the weekend and is certainly getting more and more attention today.
Oh, did you?
Let's go. Oh, congratulations.
Share with the class. First time?
No orange hands today. We're good.
All right, then. Anyway.
Yeah, a couple tulips. Couple flowers, you know,
good.
With all the rain.
Good, that's nice.
Shrubs are starting to bloom, and a lot of gardening.
That's nice.
Yeah. So what do you got that popped up?
That's really nice. A podcast over the weekend, Spittin' Chiclets. Rear Admiral
Bostel.
Everyone's familiar with Rear Admiral. Yeah. Yep. Rear Admiral, along with Ryan Whitney, Paul Bissonnette on Barstool Sports. They do a podcast, very popular with the hockey crowd.
Yep.
Spittin' Chiclets, been around for a while. Rear Admiral now full time at Barstool. Congrats!
Yeah,
all right.
Deserved it.
Big news for those guys and for him. They had a former player on with them over the weekend. I think it was last week, but over the weekend it started to get some real traction. Former player Bates Battaglia, who's on with them. He played for Bruce Cassidy back in the early 2000s, back when Bruce Cassidy was the head coach in Washington. And I don't think he liked playing for Bruce Cassidy very much. I don't think he liked Bruce Cassidy personally very much. You want to hear what he had to say about Bruce Cassidy?
Absolutely.
Okay, because this is what's starting to gain traction. And this, to me, is very interesting for this reason. I heard this and I go, oh, my God, it's championship week. It's a championship buildup. It's like Radio Row Super Bowl week.
Yeah, it's a sustainability of the hockey crowd.
Right. You've got people crawling out of the woodwork.
That story.
Airing grievances about people that are about to be, you know, playing or coaching on the highest levels. Right?
Right.
That's what it is. I said, All right. This
won't be the first one, I'm sure.
I mean, really, this is a nobody. This is not someone that is top of mind. This is not a name you've probably even heard. Right? Unless you're a real diehard hockey fan, you don't know who the hell this guy is.
Right.
Like, who? Right, exactly. You've got a guy you don't even really know coming out of the woodwork. He fully admits he doesn't even really watch hockey anymore. Former NHL player who's got a few choice words about Bruce Cassidy. Do we have the clip from Spittin' Chiclets on Barstool Sports?
We don't.
What happened?
We don't have
it. Oh, we got a system failure.
It's amazing how we switch from show to show.
We got a master alarm.
Yeah.
What the hell happened?
Master alarm.
We got a master alarm back there. Houston, you got a problem.
What are you flying an Airbus?
What happened?
What do you got?
What do we have?
You see those Airbus?
We didn't want to happen what happened last week with Hardy.
Oh.
We edited it in the back room and it didn't save edited. It saved.
Oh,
good edited.
So we beeped it and then
a lot of F words.
Then it didn't save beeped.
I think we're good now though.
Stop saying
it. And if we're not, I'll dump it.
We don't play unedited material.
Because there's multiple beeps that were needed. There were beeps needed in the beginning and the end at the
five.
End. And at the end, too.
Five.
Yeah, which is great. It's really the power of podcasting. It's one of the shortcomings of what we do on this very show and through traditional means of broadcasting.
I love when I go on podcast.
It's one of the shortcomings of radio.
I love when I go on.
I can't tell you to go F yourself right now, Zoe, if I felt like it.
Right.
Yeah.
But I go on. I air it all out like in the first 2 minutes. That's amazing. I get like all the swear words out. I'm like, can I say that? They're like, you say anything you want. This is crazy.
And then when that wears off, it's just more natural, right?
Yeah,
you don't do it for fun anymore. You just do it when it's necessary and when it's appropriate. I think that's a good place to be. But anyway, here you go from Spittin' Chicklets.
You bring that up just because right now, currently, Bruce Cassidy's having a lot of success with the Bruins. They're playing against your old club, and that isn't going well for Carolina. But I was told you weren't a huge fan of playing for Bruce in Washington when you did.
Oh, yeah. Piece of shit, tip to tail. Never liked that guy. I don't know how he is still a coach. It boggles my mind. I honestly didn't even know he was still coaching. And I randomly saw a highlight, and I don't even know if it was when they were playing against the Canes.
Oh, good guess.
As you can tell, I don't follow a whole lot. I mean, I watch some, but I'm not a diehard. But, I saw him on the screen. And I couldn't believe it. So. Well, they just talk about a guy who's just it just shows how good Boston is. They're playing that well.
Wow, you're really okay. So why was he such a bad coach?
Just unprepared. I never knew what we were doing for pride. It was just unorganized. As far as I mean, maybe things have changed. I hope they have. But yeah, it was not my bread and butter up there with him.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, that was his very first head coaching gig, and you got him kind of at the ass end of it. And when he did get fired,
I hope maybe that's the case. I hope it is, but you know, I'm just going by. I mean, hey, I was f***ing dog shit when I played in Washington too. So maybe we're buddies in that way.
Well, it's funny you say.
There you go, a former player saying Bruce Cassidy, real POS. That's what he was. How did he describe it? What did he say? Tip to tail? Is that how we put it?
Yeah.
That's what he was. Bruce Cassidy. So you got a former player of Bruce Cassidy's who played under him, calling him a real POS.
Yeah. Piece of tip to tail.
Tip to tail. Tip to tail. The worst. This guy, the worst.
That's really bad, man. Didn't
even realize he was still coaching. Tells you how good those players are that they're playing for the cup now with that guy. They're playing for this. Despite the fact that this guy is their coach.
And while I can't imagine how his assessment is correct or accurate or even believe that somebody feels that way, I do like tip to tail. I think that's something that maybe I could incorporate into my repertoire, describing something that's really good or really bad. Tip to tail. I like it.
You guys have been doing radio for a long time. We'll have guests on. And about
start working that into the repertoire.
Yeah.
20, 30, 40 seconds in, you know, when a guy says, you know, I really don't watch much hockey anymore. I didn't even know he was still coaching. You tend to think, oh boy, this is going to be a really, really, really bad guess.
Well, it puts into question like the credibility of the guy. Right. It's like, I don't even watch anymore. I didn't know
he
was coaching.
I disagree. I disagree with all this. People are killing this guy today.
Right.
Right. People are killing him. Killing him saying, he's obviously got, you know, he's got a personal thing with him.
Yeah.
He doesn't watch anymore. What the hell does he know? He played for him.
People killing Michael Bennett.
Played for him. Hated playing for him. That, to me, is where the story is. He's a player who played for him and hated it.
People like Michael Bennett.
And that, to me, is the value of the answer. He's a player who hated him. Do the players now look like they hate playing for Bruce Cassidy?
No.
No.
They don't. But I don't think that was uncommon when Bruce Cassidy was a coach. Going back to his time in 2002 and 2003 in Washington. And I think that's part of the story of Bruce Cassidy. I think if you were to ask players from that time that played in that era in Washington, I bet you'd get more than one player who was saying this. Man, I hated playing for that guy. He sucked.
Right.
Tip to tail.
Can you get better, though? Can you learn from it?
Yes. Yeah. I think that makes it a great story about Bruce Cassidy. How you can change. You don't have to remain the same guy.
See, this guy's
getting
crushed.
You can learn from your time there. And we talked about it when he was hired. This story that was written in the Washington Post, Jason Lockenfora, back when he covered hockey for the Washington Post. The headline, a young hire plagued by inexperience from the start. After being named coach of the Washington Capitals in 2002, Bruce Cassidy walked into the team's Piney Orchard training facility for his first official address to his new players. Standing in front of the team, he reached into his pocket, and his one player on the squad, at the time recounted, pulled out a paper napkin. On it were some handwritten notes Cassidy had jotted down before the session. "It was bad right from the start," this former Capital said. He pulled a piece of paper out of his pocket and started writing stuff on the blackboard. Everyone was just kind of looking at each other. We didn't know what was going on. It looked like he was winging it. He had all summer to prepare for this day, and it looked like he didn't know what he was doing. Guys started to worry right away. It goes on to talk about how Cassidy and the team, you know, they became divided over the next couple of weeks and months until the club fired him 28 games into his second season. And the firing came less than a week after Cassidy felt he needed to apologize to the team's veterans, who were irate over remarks that he had made, questioning whether their family lives were affecting the way they were playing on the ice.
Oh, yeah. Piece of shit, tip to tail.
Does that sound like the Bruce Cassidy of now?
No.
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 Because he's 15, what, more than that? 17, 16, 17 years older, and he's not the same guy.
Probably may have been a little bit over your head. You got to write things down on a board because you don't have the ability to take it all in where you're an experienced coach where you can put a group of guys down, sit there, and just go off for 10 minutes.
What have we said about Bruce Cassidy and his players? What have we said? We were talking about it 2 days ago, 3 days ago, last Friday.
His ability to relate to them.
And
Torrey Krug talking about it's the best coach I've ever had.
In terms of doing what? Communicating with players.
Yeah.
This line from that story. Cassidy struggled to communicate with players or get them to embrace his tactics. Well, wait. That is the polar opposite of what Bruce Cassidy has been here in Boston.
Okay. And this speaks to our time with Bruce Cassidy following him closely the day he took over the Bruins. What happened? What happened essentially the moment he took over from Claude Julien? What has this team done? They've won.
Won a lot.
They've won a lot.
They've won differently.
So, winning cures everything. Winning will make you see past certain things that you may not like about a coach. And I have no doubt that he's a different guy than he was 17 years ago. But if some of those elements remain in his coaching style, yeah, but we win, so you buy in. If Bill Belichick had a career sub 500 record, would anybody be saying nice things about playing for Bill Belichick?
That's a good point.
They would hate that guy.
Let's pick it up on the other side, Artie. Let's follow up on that. Bruce Cassidy. He's got guys coming out of the woodwork, former players calling him tip to tail, POS, ahead of the Stanley Cup Finals, which begin 1 week from today here in Boston. Opponents still to be determined. And that could be shifting in a different direction, too. We'll get to that. And your calls, 617-779-0985. All that on the way here today on Zolak and Bertrand. Happy Monday.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Well, we have a plan how we're going to go through the week, balancing practice with days off. We are going to meet with the veteran guys that have been through it, see how that jives. We've talked about scrimmaging. Will we do it at night, prepare like a game, bring them in the morning? We'll talk to some people outside the organization. I don't want to get too specific with that because then they get brought into it, see how they've handled it, at least the mental side of things. Our practices, I don't know if they're completely relevant to how a baseball or football team would practice, obviously, but some of the mental side of that part, or basketball for that matter. And then gather information and go from there. Be ready to go. I think it's inevitable you're going to have some rust, but the rest is the positive part of it.
Bruins also going to try and figure out how to deal with the layoff. scrimmaging at night, having a skate the next morning. Going to call Bill Belichick, see what he has to say. I like that one.
Well, he'd take the phone. He was at the Preakness. So.
He was at the Preakness over the weekend.
He's staring at that horse as it went by. Everybody else is on their phones, and he's just dead-ass staring.
Can you imagine that? Why would you be on your phone? I saw the picture. At the finish line.
Did you ever get a film of everything?
Jackass on their phone these days.
It's like going to Monster Jam. Nobody, we talked about this.
Nobody enjoys anything anymore.
Nobody watches anything. They film it. What are you going to do? Go home, watch it 15 times? Are you going to put it on social media? Yeah.
Guess what? You can get a picture of yourself at the race.
It was so badass. It was like, where's Waldo? And like, he was the only one in that crowd. Not, oh my God, hold the phone up. Look, I'm next to War of Will. It's at a baseball game. My kid's baseball game. Third one on Saturday. And someone says, hey, I missed the race, huh? I'm like, what race? I'm like, oh, that's right. Kenan Lowell came on Friday to preview it.
That's right.
But the fact that you had the disqualification, you really weren't going to have a true Triple Crown winner. You know what I mean? And the one that was the favorite got scratched because it had kennel cough at the Derby. So it really took some zest and buzz off this race.
Is that what it's called? Is it kennel cough?
Whatever the hell it was. It had something in its throat. It had a cough. The horse had a cough. It
couldn't run. Another horse dead over the weekend at
Santa Ana
there.
40th one.
40th. Hey, Bruce Cassidy is now 54 years old, Artie.
Jesus.
Which means if you're to go back.
Think he was older than me.
17 years. 17 years he was in his late 30s.
37.
Yeah. So he's in his late 30s. He's only a little bit older than some of his players. When he was in Washington with the Caps, he got fired early in his second season. And let me ask you, if he gets fired early in his second season there, is he getting fired because he's a good guy and he's communicating well with players? Like, you know, how soon do you fire a head coach if he's doing the things that you want to see your coach doing? He was 38 when he got fired. I'm just looking at it now. Right? His first year there, he was 39, 29, and 8. Finished the year with 92 points. He had a good first year. Finished the year 92 points in his first year. And then gets fired after 28 games in year two. Don't you see something wrong with that picture? Don't you see something aside from the coaching that got him fired there?
Yeah. So what's this guy's name, Bates Battaglia?
Yeah.
Okay. So if Bates Battaglia is going to go on this podcast, what does he have to gain by telling a story or what he thinks of Cassidy at the time? He even prefaces with, well, I didn't know he was coach because I don't really watch hockey anymore. So it's not like, you know, he's trying to do media stuff and get out there and get his name out there. He's just telling you what he obviously thinks. Like Michael Bennett said this about Greg Schiano. Sort of like Greg Schiano. But we believe Bennett. The players are telling you what they think. So why couldn't he have been at it that time?
It's just the stuff in this story, though, again, the Washington Post story written years ago by Jason Lockenfora. Twice early last season, Cassidy was late for the team bus on the road, causing the team to wait 10 to 15 minutes for him. He often arrived for games later than most players, which gave them the impression that he was not as prepared and thorough as he should be. Players also said he seemed uncomfortable around them, leading some to call him aloof. Quote, I just don't think he ever understood the level of professionalism it takes to coach in this league, one player said. All of the little things matter.
Right. So Barry Switzer won a Super Bowl trophy and has a ring because he was the head coach of the Cowboys. Troy Aikman called him a moron. Like, we coached the team. We ran our own meetings because we never knew when Barry was going to show up. Do we not believe Aikman? Like, do we not believe the player? Like, what do you have to gain from saying that?
Last December, Cassidy unloaded on rookie backup goalie Sebastian Carpentier after a tough loss, cursing the player and embarrassing him in front of the team. Practices often ran well over 90 minutes, quite lengthy given the grueling nature of an NFL season. And players said they were confused by many of the drills.
Okay, so real quick there, but go back to, okay, you're going to chastise this player in front of everybody. So fast forward 16 or 12 years from that point, and say, why can't I learn how to take care of these players and motivate them the way he did with Rask? Like, he would publicly in the paper hold Rask accountable. But maybe I learned I can't do this in front of the team. So I erred back in the day by making an example out of this guy in front of his teammates. There's other ways to do it. Maybe Cassidy learned it.
On more than one occasion, Cassidy changed the team's system of play during a morning skate, giving players only a half hour or so to adapt to the changes on the ice. He shocked many players by spending one morning skate in Pittsburgh last season, working extensively on the power play as the Penguins coaching staff sat in the arena taking notes. Now, again, Bruce Pataglia, what do you think about this guy? I mean, if you played for this guy at the time, what are you expected to think about Bruce Cassidy?
Oh, yeah. Piece of shit, tip to tail.
I mean, what are you supposed to say if you had played for him then? Again, this is what you get, though. You play on the biggest stage. All these people come out of the woodwork. And I just think if Bruce Cassidy wins, what a great story of redemption for Bruce Cassidy. You can change. You can get better. You can learn from your mistakes. You can go back to the minors. You can work out all your crap. You can get better. You can grow. And then a decade and a half later, you can get back and you can fix all the crap you did wrong. All the stuff that he was accused of then, he doesn't do that anymore.
No.
Now, Hardy, your point about winning?
Yes.
The one thing you can say, they had early playoff exits and they came back the following seasons and didn't lose.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the one thing you can say about that.
Hey, I mean, you can even go back to my early days here, and like you have Dick McPherson, and you get into the league, and you say, oh, this is the league. It's like a country club.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're 2-14, but this is how we do things. We walk everywhere. We don't hustle. You know, this guy's running this team. This guy's running that one. This guy's a captain. He's not really a captain. It's like, it's total disorganization. And then Bill Parcells comes in, and you're like, holy Jesus. See, that's the thing. If you're a guy that played in the league, and you might not be a superstar, but maybe you played for other coaches where you say, wow, this guy's got his stuff together. Obviously, he didn't at that time. But could he have learned and gotten better? Hell yeah. Everybody can. I mean, you could win different ways, you know? But if you look at something and you don't believe what the guy's telling you, you're like, oh, man, this guy can't even hold. I tell you that all the time about a guy coming in. Can he hold a room? Can he sit in front of 10 to 20 guys and just say, you know, I'm going to speak, and do you hear what I'm saying? Can you hold that room? And if you can, you have a good chance as a coach. And maybe he didn't at the beginning. Like, what's this guy got to gain by saying it? So why should he be making this stuff up? Well, you got this vendetta against Cassidy? I don't think so. Listen to him. Oh, God. It came out so naturally. What is that, tip to tip?
Tip to tail.
Tip to tail.
Tip to tail.
Yep.
Tip to tail.
It says tip to tail.
And then in the season, boom, this was written right after he got fired. The frustration of losing and the lingering issues between the players and coach came to a head last Thursday. This was right after Cassidy and defenseman Brendan Witt had to be separated by the training staff. Cassidy and Brendan Witt were going to fight each other. How about that?
Yeah.
Bruce Cassidy was going to fight one of his own players. That happened in Washington.
Probably doesn't hockey.
He got into a screaming match with Jágr. Not a violent man from what we understand. Jágr and Cassidy got into a screaming match.
Jágr.
It almost got physical with Brendan Witt. They had to get physically separated by the training staff. And then the frustration in losing and the lingering issues between the players and coach came to a head last Thursday in New Jersey. Cassidy ripped the team after a 3-0 loss and made references to players not using, players using pregnant wives and sick children as an excuse for their poor play. Many of the players have young children or wives about to give birth, while Kolzig has an autistic child and Witt's wife battled a life-threatening illness all of last season. Those remarks angered many players, and coupled with two more ugly defeats marked the end of Cassidy's tenure. He apologized in a brief meeting with the team on Saturday, but the die was cast. Got one player with a child dealing with something. You've got one player with a wife who's got a life-threatening illness.
Where's honey?
And he said, you're using your sick kids and your sick wives as your excuses. And that set them off. And then he gets fired.
Well, it seems like he
28,
already...
Again, 28 games in a season after he had 92 points. Yeah. Year two, he's out the door.
He already lost the team there.
He lost
so
the team.
You already lost
he lost the
team,
the team 28 games into the year. And he nearly was literally almost fought one of them. And the veterans were like, this guy is an a-hole. Tip to toe. Tip to tail. Tip to tail.
Tip to tail.
This guy's an a-hole. He's a POS.
Tip to tail.
Yes.
Scalp to toes.
So just remember that when you, you know, hear all the other people out there today, the hockey guys, who'll say, "Oh, Bates Battaglia, who's that?" You know, when you hear that today.
I know that.
Just remember, it's a better story when you just acknowledge what the truth is. It's a much better story. It's going to be a better story of redemption for Bruce Cassidy if and when the Bruins win this thing. That you can learn from your mistakes. You can get better. You can stick with it. You can say, you know what? I screwed up, and I'm going to get better, and I'm going to get back there, and I'm going to prove people wrong. And this is exactly what Bruce Cassidy's doing. That's a better story today and this week and in the Stanley Cup Finals than crapping all over some no-name NHL player you didn't even know of before today.
So he's working on the power play in front of the Penguins coaches as they're sitting up there taking notes as to all the adjustments he's working on without even glancing up and saying, well, who's in the building here? Just like your Belichick's like, sweep the place. Sweep it.
People screw up.
Who's that guy atop the building?
People screw up, and it's a pretty damn good story when they straighten themselves out, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And they realize the error of their ways. And here's Bruce Cassidy about to coach his team in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Probably be the favorite.
Pretty good story when you figure it out, and he has certainly figured it out with this team. 617-779-0985. I promise we'll get to your calls on the Bruins next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Well, we've got the Blues, we've got the Sharks, and we've got playoff hockey coming your way. Tarasenko gets it back to Schwartz. He scores! Man. Jaden Schwartz! If you've got a hat, chuck it at your radio. Another playoff hat trick for Jaden Schwartz. And his three goals propels the Blues to a 5-0 lead. And here are a couple hats from Blues fans landing on the ice in San Jose.
What a pass, too, by Tarasenko.
I don't want it to be the Sharks anymore. Because, you know, based on how we get our play-by-play and how we have ours, he shoots, he scores! We got a mouth breather for a color guy for the St. Louis Blues.
This is what you're rooting for?
I'm rooting for bad radio for the game call. I want Shark versus Bear because I think it helps our show, especially with all the shark crap that's going on and you wusses down a cape that we will get to today when our mandated fun. Retracting your shark paraphernalia and everything you're selling, all your merch. Put the merch back out. My money's on a Metro West Bruins fan this year.
Metro West.
I'm going to put that out.
West one
Metro West Bruins fan. I'm talking Framingham, Natick area. Okay? Maybe Shrewsbury, something there, you know? Out there on Route 9. Maybe go up 146, one of those towns. Maybe Oxford. I don't know. I got to think about it.
Okay.
For the next shark attack, okay? And it's not sensitive because it's going to happen. Because you morons are going to go in the water with these suckers coming up north.
Okay.
All sorry. Right. Stop Fixed saying.
Anyway.
We got a mouth breather there. This could be fun. Back and forth.
Well, we've got the Blues, we've got the Sharks, and we've got playoff hockey coming your way. Tarasenko.
What's
wrong with there is a little something there.
You know what? I'm sure he goes.
There is a little extra enunciation there.
I think he goes, "Oh, hey kids, did you do your homework yet? Because we're going to go down to friendlies."
Well, we've got the Blues, we've got the Sharks, and we've got playoff hockey coming your way.
That's not.
Ooh, it's a yacht. That's not real. St. Louis.
That's a joke.
He sounds like somebody.
No, that's
we're being
real.
Trolled. No one in 2019 does radio like that anymore.
I
refuse to believe that guy is a thing. That guy is for real.
Can I have the color guy, please? Following that up with his commentary.
On the ice in San Jose.
What a pass, too, by Tarasenko.
What?
He's dead. He just doesn't know it yet.
I'll take Espo any day. Give me Espo, just totally disengaged. What the hell kind of call is that?
Wow. Yeah. Well, St. Louis, let me tell you this. From watching that series, I've maintained this and I will continue to do it. Bruins are going to have their hands full no matter who it is coming out of that series.
Yep. That arena was electric prior to that game.
Forget Sharks the arenas. On the ice, though.
Yeah.
On the ice.
No.
The two teams playing, they're both good.
You see the way they handled that puck yesterday? I actually watched NHL Network and some of the wrap-up stuff all night. To watch this this Blues team take it to them out there on their ice.
I just keep
and
worrying.
And how they blew it and gave them that
Do you know
game.
What I worry about the more turnover. Than the layoff now? More than the layoff.
I'm worried. Stop with the layoff.
How good these teams are?
I'm worried about how good the other team is. But not only that, because the Bruins have beaten good teams this year. I'm not worried about the Bruins' inability to play and win against good teams. It's not like the Bruins aren't a good team. They are.
Okay.
I'm worried about how long it's been since the Bruins have had to play a good team. Okay, Columbus is okay. Carolina blows. Toronto was the last time they had to play a good team.
Hello.
It's been a while. It's been a while since they had to play a good team.
Nobody carries a puck like these two teams.
That's my fear.
How about the Hardy, passing?
That's like, been a while since they've had to play a good team. That's all.
Like they were up 2-0 and just they're up 2-0 on the Sharks. And the Sharks were attacking. The way the Sharks pass the puck and the way they hold the puck. And then you see the quick turnovers and just how they take advantage of the stupidity of the Sharks. Like, that's like, whoa, good movement. Good, quick movement.
Let's go to the phones. Dennis in Rockland. Hey, Dennis.
Hello. How you doing, Beto?
What's up?
I realize you guys have a week between the games and you got to have a lot of stuff to talk about. I'm kind of bummed out with all the negative shame. Throw it on Cassie. I'd like to talk about stuff like
I think he's done a fantastic job as of late. I think we followed up.
Past.
Oh my God.
Andrew Ferentz was bringing in the jacket and stuff like that, the bike, the Schwinn bike. Is there a lucky charm the Bruins are using this year?
I don't know. I haven't noticed.
Yeah, they even mentioned they break out of it. He's in a chase in the back and he comes
Dennis,
out and he dances.
Who's throwing shade to Bruce Cassidy?
Well, you guys, I'm talking about his past and, you know, the stuff he's had problems with. I mean, I understand it's happened, and it would be a redemption story.
It is.
Like, I mean, there's so many other
it already
things
is a story of that.
About.
It's already a story of that. He's coaching in the Stanley Cup.
But I think his point is there are other things to talk about, like is there a jacket?
Yeah, you're right. We
what about
talk
that
about
chain?
Andrew Ferentz,
didn't he have
Schwinn.
Didn't he have that big chain? Remember the chain? You're only as good as the weakest link in that chain?
Let's talk about Andrew Ferentz's 18-speed bike.
You don't want to talk about it because you don't know if there is a jacket. You don't even know.
I know DeBrusk's wearing the hat, but it's only him. It's not like it's changing.
Yeah, no, that's like he just started happen to wearing a hat, and then like he's continued to wear his hat.
But that's headlights protocol. That has nothing to do with him not wanting to share it or pass it around.
I thought
the
he
room.
Got
that's
that.
Just,
I think he got the hair procedure done.
That's the rules.
When you have that hair procedure, then I tell you to wear,
you wear a
hat
for a while.
It's an oversized hat. Yeah. Yeah. Like keep the sun off.
Paul is in New Hampshire. Hi, Paul.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
I've played many sports, and I've never, ever really liked a coach.
Bruce Cassidy, that is, specifically.
Oh, I like him. I think he's a great coach, but if
which
he was
coach
my
don't
coach,
you like?
I probably would have my problems with him, Wait, too.
Oh, go, you just don't like coaches in general as a player.
I used to play football, right?
Uh-huh. I played football.
And I would do it after school, and I'd run around and practice. And they'd make us run first, and then you think you're all done, and then they make you run around the field again.
All right, I'm not taking any more calls today. We're going to talk about Game of Thrones coming up next.
Wait a second. I'd rather talk about dragons. I never even watched.
So I got a dragon's thought, and we're going to get to that. I'm not doing this.
You're playing football?
I wanted to. He was telling
you're
what happened at a football practice.
I've never been more happy to be back at work today.
Sir, call
on a Monday.
I want to know
today.
What happened after you ran.
He said he doesn't like coaches as a player. He doesn't like coaches.
But he was telling his story about running around the field after school. What happened then?
I literally have the greatest backyard football story from when I was a kid. I was about 14
What do you
15.
Got on dragons?
Dragons? I think they're stupid. And I think if you think that they're real and they have wings and they breathe fire, you're
does anybody believe that?
Yeah.
Does anybody believe that?
Yes, I think there are actually people that do. And they're called LARPers. I do.
You think people...
Nobody believes that.
I bet Rich Shortlib could find four. Four people.
Believe that dragons
exist
today.
That are real somewhere. I think just because people think Bigfoot exists.
Well, that's a little different.
Well, not really.
He's out there hiding in the woods. Dragonflies.
Well, I mean, hold on.
A little more credible.
Bigfoot seemed more
plausible.
And I'm
plausible. A Bigfoot guy, man.
Bigfoot seemed more plausible than a dragon.
What
right?
About Loch Ness Monster?
A Bigfoot could be a cross between other types of primates.
Right.
Right?
I'll tell you what, Godzilla's coming out. Another one.
All right, good. So we need to get your thoughts on the final Game of Thrones episode happening last night. You didn't watch it.
I think we just heard it.
But
I think we just heard it.
We need to get.
I can elaborate.
Okay, good.
I know you can elaborate. It happened last night. So why don't we do that?
Okay.
All right.
Sounds good.
We'll do that coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What's up? What's up?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Yeah, whatever.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I got to say, last night with the final Game of Thrones episode happening, I'm glad it's over. I don't watch the show. My only issue is with those who shame the people who don't watch the show. And that's only some of you. It's a small minority of the Game of Thrones watchers who shame those who don't. You don't watch? How do you not watch? Because I'm not into it. I don't know.
Well, I know Zoe.
I tried. It wasn't really my thing.
I know Zoe's thoughts on this.
I didn't continue watching. That's all. Is that a big deal to you? I mean, if you enjoy it, great. Keep watching. I'm happy you found a show you enjoy along with millions of others. Good for you. Congrats. But here's why I'm happy it's over. Oh, the complaining you people do. Wow. For such a great show, you sure do a whole hell of a lot of complaining about it. So I'm glad that part of it's over. So that's my only thing I have to say about it today. Zoe, your thoughts?
Well, Jared Karabas had the great tweet. He goes, I never spent one single second, but to watch all these people react and be so disappointed with it, I'm glad that I haven't spent one single second of my life watching or investing all those hours upon hours over the years to sit there and watch dragons on a dark screen chase people with long furry coats, that it looks cold, that there's a lot of intense staring and pacing and I don't know. Then I see Burt Breer last night saying, I never watched Game of Thrones, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to live tweet the last 5 minutes of it. And his DVR got screwed up by the time on it, and he missed the final two minutes.
Oh, what a dumbass.
What an idiot.
A dumbass
he is.
Don't
put that out there if you're going to do it, if you can't do it. I say I'm going to live tweet Rudolph. You know what I do? I'm sitting there in my ass.
Who's this, Breer?
My ass is on a couch.
Any
5 minutes before Rudolph
starts. Anything that isn't like breaking news from Breer's Twitter account can go to hell. I just want to say that right now.
Him hammering
a Breer's Twitter account. Outside of his breaking NFL news is hot garbage.
Mess.
It's like, oh, I got delayed again in an airport.
Yeah.
And the other day it was,
that
eyesore of a casino north of town. I'm like, eyesore?
Why was he ripping
that great looking building, Bert? I told him to go back to Green Acres. Go back to Green Acres. Are you kidding me?
Did you see Hook's pictures that he was sending after that?
Get out of here.
Oh, yeah, Bert. What? It's such a better eyesore than at this pretty skyline of Everett.
Get out of here, Breer.
So, during the last break, the new intern, Harry Styles, comes in and opens the door. Give him a mic, Jim. Put him on. Put him on NBC Sports Boston. Cute little kid from UMass. And he's got a show idea. So he comes in and just starts rambling. Well, the three of us are totally talking about something else.
Yeah. And he wanted to know our best endings, or what we thought were the best endings ever in TV. That's what he wanted?
Yeah. So obviously this was an awful ending. For people that
apparently
the show that
apparently it was a bad one
that invested the time, I feel bad for you because you were let down. The Cheers ending wasn't great.
Not terrible. Cheers wasn't a bad ending.
MASH was a good one.
MASH okay.
MASH was okay.
Kind of neatly tied up.
I can't remember the end.
Okay, Seinfeld's
was good.
Oh, brutal! No
wasn't
way.
It?
Seinfeld was awful. I never invested in Seinfeld. Garbage.
So I watched like the end of it.
Oh my God, it was terrible.
Okay.
Seinfeld ending was awful. Universally regarded as terrible and rightfully so.
Maybe the worst episode of Seinfeld.
Yep.
Yeah, it was awful. This is my point on
there's
this.
Only one. There's the great controversial one, which is Sopranos. Very controversial. You're either in or out on that one.
Right.
Okay. But that certainly didn't ruin your enjoyment of the show.
Not at all.
Because
the rest of the episode was great.
Right. I mean, or I'm saying the show in general, it didn't leave a bad taste in your mouth for the rest of the six seasons or seven seasons you would watch.
But I see Game of Thrones six parties of people dressed up with these cloaks on and they're all sitting there eating out of good chalices and goblets.
You know what the worst ending ever was?
A Sleight of Fire.
Lost. If you watch Lost, oh my God, what a waste.
Okay. And I agree with you on that. Beale, you probably never watched this. Zoe probably didn't either. Newhart. The ending to Newhart was phenomenal, but it was.
I didn't watch it.
It was like a throwback to an earlier Bob Newhart sitcom. It turned out like the whole thing was a dream. Yeah. He woke up in bed with his wife from the previous Newhart show sitcom and said, "I just had the craziest dream." So that was funny. But this is my point, okay? As much as people were talking about this, and online and Twitter and everything else, how much of a thing was it? How many people viewed the final episode of Game of Thrones last night, Beetle?
Many millions.
Many.
18 million, I heard the number.
Look at their followers on Twitter, Game of Thrones
Twitter. I looked up the most viewed television finales.
Ooh.
It's not on network TV, so it's not. And it's also not 1980 anymore.
Even crack the top 20 for most viewed. Wow. Do you know how many more people viewed the last episode of L.A. Law, MacGyver, Sane Elsewhere,
MacGyver,
Full House,
Ew,
Golden Girls.
That's a good one.
Gunsmoke.
Party. Modern Times.
I'm just saying.
But I
as
disagree.
Much as everyone
among
seems
its
to be
contemporaries, but this is pretty strong.
But your ability to access it nowadays.
It is a fraction.
I'm with you on this.
Of the population.
Because viewing is now more segmented than ever before.
Yeah, but so what you say, like everybody's watching it, everybody's watching it.
No, no, no.
Twice as many people, literally twice as many people watched the last episode of Family Ties than watched the last episode
25 years
of Game
ago,
of Thrones. But it's an even bigger percentage of the population.
Agreed. But this will be the most watched TV show of the year. Hands down.
But it's not that much of a thing.
Totally
in terms
agree.
Of the overall population. Everybody's watching it. No. Actually, very few people overall are watching it compared to people who watched other shows in the past.
Yes.
And not only numbers, but even more so, percentage of the population. So you feel like I'm the only one not watching? Oh, no, 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 no.
But
there's only a fraction of people watching this show, so don't worry about it.
We're more connected now than ever before.
Right.
So that conversation is more connected. Social media, Facebook, Twitter, all of that, Instagram.
I think it's more of
all those people that are watching can now talk to each other about it.
They can talk to each other
when Full House was on. You weren't able to talk to each other about it when L.A. Law was wrapping up. You couldn't talk to each other about it. Now you can.
I'm just saying
why it's so much easier to promote.
I'm just saying
to connect and to have people lining up and whatever these still images we are. I don't even know what these people are doing in these images we're showing on our simulcast, sitting on some throne or taking pictures or bowing at whatever altar. I don't even know.
The interconnectivity is the thing. But when you go back to 1988, when there's about 250 million people in this country and 50 million people watched the last episode of Magnum PI, one out of five people that you would run into in every walk of life was watching that show.
That's pretty good.
As opposed to last night, how many people are in the United States right now? About 360 million, say, for instance. So 18 million. It's like a fraction. It's a fraction of the percentage of people who watch shows and watch the final episodes way back in the day. It's not that much of a thing. You're all upset because you think it's a thing. Don't worry. It's not even that much of a thing.
You're not even a thing.
It's not. It isn't.
Not even a thing.
That's all I got.
That's a good rant.
It's a good way of looking at it. Everyone's watching Game of Thrones. No, they're not.
No, they're not.
No, they're not. They're really not. So don't worry about it.
L.A. Law, was that a good show?
I never watched it.
It was a good show.
Okay.
You know, I watched last night Running Wild with Bear Grylls. He takes a.
Oh, no,
act.
I know.
Yeah.
You know who's obsessed with Bear Grylls? Chase Winovich.
Shut up.
Yes.
Badass.
That's his guy. He's got a thing.
You should read the stories on him, like where he lives in the trailer, but while he's not filming, right? And he has a protective team with him at all times, and he eats fine.
617-779-0985. We had a whole new batch of Kyrie rumors over the weekend.
Oh, here we go.
We'll try and pick our way through those coming up in 90 seconds.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.